It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Fire. Thanks. I don't need help. Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed podcast about the romance we see on screen. From reality dating shows like The Bachelor to classic rom-coms and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these stories, and we can't live without them. But we can break down every juicy detail and unpack all the weird messages on-screen romance sends us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about the most oddly compressed season of Perfect Match we've ever seen.
Honestly, I feel like our heads are just spinning because what are you talking about? It's decision day. These people just met each other like 3 days ago.
What? I feel like streaming orders keep getting reduced. You know, I'm hearing that Off Campus was supposed to have 10 episodes.
Well, that's a travesty.
It only had 8. I mean, I think about it all the time, clearly. But Perfect Match, we realized as we were looking at the finale this week, the first season was 12 episodes. We're down to 8. Like, they are rapidly reeling that one back in.
And 5 of them dropped at once. So, like, yeah, the pacing of this season, just all the fuck over the place. But we are here today to talk about the finale. We have made it to the end, people. Before we get into it, a little housekeeping. If you missed our last news and gossip episode or our earlier recaps of this season of Perfect Match and Farmer Wants a Wife, just scroll back in your Love to See It feed.
That's all right there. Also, we moved Rich Text over to Patreon. So our most recent episode was about the finale of Summer House and the premiere of In the City, a recap of part one of the Summer House reunion, and our thoughts on Off Campus, maybe one or two other things, is coming soon. There's just a lot for us to discuss, and we can't wait to get on all of that. So you can find those conversations and more at patreon.com/richtext.
Okay, Claire, let's get into the topic at hand. The Perfect Match season 4 finale. I feel like the delay in when they tape this show and when it comes out for such like a low stakes dating show makes it hard for me to like really invest.
And that's, again, the magic of last season is that we knew that a entire baby was going to come out of the show.
Right. It forced you to care.
It's hard for me to even really wonder if I just assume none of them are together. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's the level of expectation I have going in.
Exactly.
And they haven't even been there long enough to have really meaty drama within the show. So where are the stakes? They're not within the world of the show. It's not about what happens after. You know, why don't we just go watch the Summer House reunion, honestly?
Exactly. The stakes here, though, are like, at what point will Damari realizes that he hates Marissa?
It hasn't happened yet. Honestly, they really turned this cruise ship around. I thought that it had too much momentum headed toward the iceberg, and they like wrenched that wheel and headed back out to open waters. So they ended last drop in the middle of a huge and seemingly relationship-ending fight. Like, if you have been dating for 2 weeks and you go to bed this furious with each other...
Multiple times.
And meanwhile, you have other hot options who are trying to get in there and steal you away. You got to be thinking it's over, right? But there is a vacation on the line. And they are not willing to throw the chance at that all-expenses-paid vacation away.
You know what I always dream about? Being stuck in the Maldives with someone that I'm just fighting with all the time.
Is he really ripped, though? I think that would...
That's true. I guess if, it, you know, this is the piece that's missing for me. We aren't hot people.
Yeah, it's called enemies to lovers, okay? It's called, oh no, there's only one bed and it's me and my enemy who I hate because he was a really bad boyfriend to me recently. But maybe we'll fall in love again now that we're stuck in the Maldives.
Of about 8 days.
So the next morning, Damari and Marissa are both feeling cooler headed, but still troubled. Marissa tells us that she's considering leaving because of all the problems they've been having. And the two of them end up sitting down to chat. And Damari is bringing a softer touch to this conversation. He says he didn't like how their recent conversations went, but he still feels very connected to her and he wants to work things through with her more than he usually would. He doesn't want to walk away. And first of all, I was like, how often is this happening to you, Damari? Clearly a lot, because he's deeply attracted to women who piss him off. And secondly,
it's his type.
I could not have been more surprised by basically anything that he's... This was the last thing I expected Damari to say.
I know. I really thought he would be done, but he's like determined to be the couple that locks in and makes it to the end. You can feel the two of them like white knuckling it through the rest of this season.
Right. They're like, actually, maybe we're the most perfect match, you guys, because we stay together even though we hate each other. And that's not easy to do. Marissa says that she should have handled the situation with a lot more grace, and she feels that he's one of the few people who's truly seen her. Mm. She's like, I also want to work things out. Maybe he does really see her, and what he sees are qualities that she has that he doesn't like at all. But he
I think they might actually see each other accurately, and just they won't accept that they're incompatible.
They're like, I see who you are. It's the opposite of what I need. But you're so
let's forge ahead anyway.
You're so attractive. Damari tells us that a perfect match is someone you can go through disagreements with, which is so true. And then there's another challenge. It's the finale. There's another challenge and boardroom this episode.
And I feel like we've barely been in the boardroom. The boardroom hasn't mattered at all, which is like a centerpiece of this show. This season is such a mess.
Is this like the third boardroom?
Yeah. I mean, as far as we can tell, Marissa and Damari are the only ones who have been in the boardroom.
Yeah. Until this episode. The finale.
The finale. The pacing is very off.
So Nick Lachey greets all of the couples and notes that Allie pulled the ripcord by switching to Hashim. And she says, I did. Now, if you have forgotten, she did not. She didn't do anything. Jimmy pulled
her out there until one of her options left and she was put out of her misery.
Now she's accepting the back paths for her decisiveness. This challenge is about communication and being equal partners. And Kayla points out that men and women aren't equal partners because men can't give birth. And she's honestly so correct.
She's so right. What a woke queen. Thank you, Kayla, for your service.
It's similar to previous season's challenges where there's like a series of team building obstacles that they have to go through together to test their communication and their commitment.
And it usually includes eating something.
Yes.
It's very key.
And there's usually like an ice water component as well. Last season, I think there was an ice plunge. Mm-hmm. This season, they just have to pull cylinder blocks out of ice water and then stack them into towers. And as the mother of a toddler, I was very triggered by this. And the devastation whenever the pile of cylinders falls down.
No, I can't see it. It's too much.
Who am I going to have to comfort? The second challenge is the mystery buffet. There's fried mealworms, pan dulce, fresh cheese, and spicy fruit. And the men almost always end up eating the mealworms because...
As they should.
Kayla didn't eat the pan dulce. She ate the mealworms. And I was a little surprised because of gender equality. But later she says something about her esophagus issue. So I guess she has trouble swallowing a lot of like bread quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, I thought the mealworms would be easier, but they weren't. Brutal.
What a champion. Give Kayla a medal.
I know. Allison almost murders Jimmy during this part of the challenge because he won't stop trying to hype her up to eat her pan dulce faster. And I was like, wow, you can see the scales falling from her eyes. She's seeing Jimmy how I see him, as someone super annoying.
She seems to still be into him per Instagram.
They do move past it. They move past it once the challenge is over. Ali and Hashim are eliminated first. They don't have to eat the mealworms. Basically, whoever, the one or two couples who are last at each stage get eliminated. So the third challenge is maneuvering like a huge oblong sculptural object through a couple of doorways. If you're a mover, you're going to have a huge advantage in this challenge. The fourth is assembling a complicated sculpture together. And the gender dynamic here is fascinating. In every couple, the woman reads the instructions while the man assembles, which is the opposite of our relationship dynamics.
Yeah, so in my relationship, I would both be reading the instructions and assembling.
Right. There would be a third job in my home for the person picking out the Taylor Swift tracks to play to entertain me.
Or just
while
giving,
I'm
like,
doing both.
Unhelpful suggestions about how maybe I'm doing it wrong, but like without actually having anything useful to contribute.
Tell Adam to do what Greg does. Just be like, wow, you're doing amazing. I'm so impressed. Do you want me to play Folklore next? The race comes down to Sophie and Dave, Damari and Marissa, and Yemen and Natalie. And Sophie and Dave take home the win. They are surging.
This is a dark horse couple.
Yeah.
And I am into them. Cast more people in their late 30s on dating shows, okay?
Yeah.
Look at Dave. He's a star.
He knows what he wants. He knows what he's ready for. And
he knows
ready.
How to make out with everyone. And he knows how to bag the girl in the end.
Yeah. He's like, I know when it's time to make out with every girl. And I know when it's time to stop because I landed this perfect blonde firecracker.
And that's called maturity, baby.
They are so proud of their communication and compatibility. And they're like, maybe we're the strongest couple here. Usually when a brand new couple says this, I'm like, you're delusional. But I bought it. I was like, they are firing on all cylinders.
And they have finally accepted that they actually like each other.
Yeah, they are kind of the rom-com story of the season. They nailed it. You can see couples trying to craft their storylines throughout. And I think Sophie and Dave are the only ones who successfully craft a romantic storyline that feels romantic.
Well, I think that they did the wise thing, which is like not try to craft a storyline. They both just kind of came in as slight chaos monsters. They're like, I'm probably going to leave soon. I'm going to kind of make out with everyone.
Yeah.
That's when you find love, when you're least looking for it, when you're least trying to craft a beautiful storyline for yourself on a reality TV show.
Literally, because it's the beauty of the unexpected and that authentic emotion that audiences respond to. Wait until we find out that they were communicating on Instagram for months prior. So they go on a romantic date and Sophie is gushing. She says she's never had this communication in a relationship. She's never just been herself with someone. She's always been worried about being too much for a guy. She's had to dim her sparkle. And he's like, I love your sparkle. He's like, I never want you to change. And then they start making plans and it feels sort of real, like they actually expect to see each other outside of this.
Shocking for perfect match, especially a couple as long distance as they would be.
Yeah, they are, like, she's in England, he's in Australia. You don't get much. England used to send their convicts literally to Australia because they couldn't think of a further place to put them, right? Like, that's how far away it is. But he tells her that it's not just a holiday romance and he pictures her in his life with, quote, our dogs. They've been dating for like 2 days and he's like, my dogs are your dogs. Those are our kids now, baby.
Wow. To be fair, he's used to moving fast. He was on Married at First Sight.
Yeah. And clearly that worked out so well for him. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to stick with that pace. Sophie admits she's never been in love. So she has even more fear about kind of giving into that experience. But she seems like pretty gung-ho to me. They kiss. She's like, this isn't the end of our book. It's the start of another chapter. And I was really thrown by this because I was like, didn't your first chapter basically just start? Are we even closing a chapter at this point? It's been 36 hours.
Starting a chapter, closing a chapter, potato, potato, Claire.
Exactly. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Sophie and Dave's first and only boardroom. Can you keep up? I like,
love it. Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back, and Sophie and Dave are heading into the boardroom just in time for the season to end. And they are given the power to introduce two of three singles, only three options. And we see Chris, Bree, and Jimmy P on the board.
Yeah, so they are going to bring in two of these three people. That person who's brought in can choose someone on the spot to be their date. You can see how production is like, we got to really narrow down the options to make sure that they don't pick some duds. They're like,
yep.
let's really narrow down the scope of this. Dave really wants to bring Bree back for the drama, but Sophie is adamant that this is strategically unwise. She wants to bring back Chris because it will be inoffensive and not piss everyone off. Whereas all of Damari and Marissa's friends, i.e. everyone, will be mad if they bring in Bree to sort of mess up that relationship. And I was fascinated to hear them like really talking about it through this lens, especially because Sophie somehow loses the debate when like clearly she's right.
Oh, she's completely right. But obviously Dave is just like, no, I want the drama. And production also really wants Bree.
Yeah. I wonder if production, sometimes when we go away, I'm like, does production step in? It's like, Sophie, come on. Sophie, we need Bree.
Come on.
They both agree on Jimmy. And she also thinks this will mollify Jimmy, who might be pissed at her for laughing in his face when he was declaring his feelings to Allie. And so, like, she's purely thinking of this all as campaigning. She's like, we want to get the votes of every single person in the house.
I kind of respected it that she was like, look, what you got to do is just be liked by the most people.
Right. Like, she's like, at this point, it's not strategic to think about breaking up another couple. It's too late for that. It's too late to worry about threats in that sense. What we have to worry about is whipping those votes. We've got to be doing retail politics. And she's completely right. But Dave tries to rock, paper, scissors for the right to decide. Sophie refuses. But as we've said, he wins anyway, or production intervenes. And Bree is the one who ends up walking through the door. But first, Jimmy P arrives. He's so happy to be back, still feeling a little wounded that Allie didn't choose him affirmatively. But he's like, hey, I'm back. I got another shot. He rolls up to the group and tries to be like, okay, so what's going on? And they're like, you have to pick a date. And he's like, do I get to feel out the dynamic of the house first?
And they're like, no.
They're like, no. Sophie's like, stop playing and pick Allie. And it's like, yeah, what would be the purpose of going on a date with anyone else? It's the
also
finale.
You literally left the house 12 hours ago.
Right. He makes a little speech about how tough that night was when he left the house. And he even wipes purported tears from his eyes, although I didn't personally see any moisture. He's like, oh no, I'm going to cry.
I love when people do that on reality TV. They're like, I am about to cry.
Yeah.
It is so hard for me. Dab, 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 dab.
Fortunately, I didn't cry, clearly, because you're not going to see any tears. But he asks Allie, and she agrees. Hashim tells the camera that he knows Jimmy will be, quote, love bombing her, but things, quote, typically go in his favor, and, quote, we don't like to lose around here.
Romance.
I'm like, Hashim, the only reason everyone is pulling for you is because they think that Jimmy is just here to win the game. But
he's like, no, they're confused. Like, you're just here. We're both here to win the game.
But I always win, so I know I'm going to win. It must kind of sting to lose to Jimmy, I have to say.
Yeah.
With all due respect.
You're Hashim. That's rough.
Also, no one knows what love bombing is anymore. Hashim, how is it not love bombing to come in and like shower Allie with compliments and promises after 3 hours?
No, love bombing has lost literally all of its meaning.
Bree enters second. Damari and Marissa are pretty chagrined. And Bree puts on a little show of being like, I feel like I want to pick Yemen, but I also want to pick Hashim. But I need to finish a conversation, so I choose Damari.
Well played.
Yeah, Marissa's really displeased about all of this, but what can you do? Power of the boardroom. So Damari and Bree get drinks and get ready to squash the beef. Damari kicks things off basically by being like, why did you say that I cheated? I actually never cheated. That didn't happen.
He's here to litigate the podcasts.
And she's like, well, you didn't care to clear that up. And he says, well, I'm one of those people that's like, I don't need to explain shit. And she says, well, that doesn't work in a long distance relationship. So what I'm getting the sense, like, I don't remember their drama, and I did not go back and listen to the podcast. But the impression this is giving me is that there were like rumors or DMs that she was getting.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to like engage with her doubts or insecurities about them. And so she took that as confirmation.
Just seems like they have really awful communication.
Right. Like, I'm sorry. How do you think that your girlfriend is supposed to take it if she's, for example, hearing stuff like this?
Right.
You're long distance, like, and you're not going to even deny it. It's not a way to maintain trust in that relationship. But he's like, yeah, no, you're probably right. That was not a good way to handle it. And they agree that communication was an issue. But love and sex were not the problem. In fact, maybe they had too much sex. That was too amazing.
As we know. We know. You've said it. We get it. You loved to bang. And you're both really gorgeous. So, like, who wouldn't?
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry. You also have to talk to each other. That's what a relationship is. Damari admits that he went harder in the kissing challenge to prove that she misses him. And she admits that she does. And she's like, you miss me too. And he admits that he does miss her and he still loves her. And she agrees. She also still loves him. Oh my God.
Are they back
together?
This was such an odd about fit, because like they have this conversation and then it's just like, no, I'm with Marissa and I feel great about it. Sorry, spoiler.
I mean, I could see this being a closure conversation. I would imagine that they cut out a bunch of other stuff.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like they edit it in a way that makes it feel like they're completely getting back together. It's just like part and parcel with all of the really weird pacing. I'm like, what story are we telling here? Like, I get that you're kind of faking us out, but then I'm just stuck on the fact that I don't understand what happened in this relationship.
Right. You have to strike a balance because you've now faked us out to the point that I don't understand what happened in this conversation.
Exactly.
Like, they end this scene with them admitting that they still love each other, and then they get up and dance in slow-mo alone in this cocktail bar. And I'm like, so they admit they love each other and then they sensually dance together. And then he goes back and is like, I'm with Marissa. I need more connective tissue.
So glad we've had this closure.
Like, I get it. Like, sometimes someone isn't right for you and you still miss and love each other when it's over.
Of course.
But like, again,
tell a better
tissue.
Story, producers/editors.
He tells the camera that when he and Bree were good, it was some of the best times he's had with a partner. And then he says, right now, am I open to seeing if this could happen? Hell yeah. But also things are good with Marissa. This seems like a really easy soundbite to take from a different point in the day or even a discussion about something else and just put in there to make it seem like he's saying he's down to get back with his ex. Back at the house, Marissa says she thinks Bree will try to win Damari back, but good luck to you, girly. Ye says he thinks it's clipped forever. And at this point, they seem pretty delusional because Damari and Bree seem like they're about to rip each other's clothes off back at the dance lounge.
Joke's on us, thanks to the editors.
Marissa tells Hashim that she's rooting for Allie to come back to him because Allie asked Jimmy to lock in and he didn't. And everyone seems to have like turned on Jimmy at some point in between the I'm here to win because this is a game and the oh, sorry, I don't want to lock in before the hot, sexy party conversation.
Yeah, like I can't tell exactly what happened here.
I don't think anyone is taking Jimmy
seriously.
Like they think he's just using Allie, basically.
And then they're like, Hashim, you are a prince.
Yeah.
Hashim is also using Allie. Yeah, like no one is taking this seriously.
I think there's a lot of using happening in this whole circle.
Yeah, Natalie.
So Jimmy P and Allie are having some champagne. Jimmy apologizes for how he left and that he kind of was a little bit snarky with Allie on his way out the door, a little bit critical of how she handled things. And he says that he will fight for her going forward in the future. But in this instance, he felt that she was leaning the other way and she didn't have the heart to tell him. So he didn't want to like keep dragging it out. I can understand feeling that way because she literally would not make a decision And they had spent like weeks together at that point.
Yeah. As I said last week, I think he was just really tired. Everyone was really tired. By 4 a.m., you're just like, I don't care if I stay or go.
Do you think production was like, if you leave now, we'll make sure you come back in before the finale?
I doubt they gave him just that reassurance. But
no, you're right. Why would they do that? That wouldn't be dramatic. He asks if she and Hashim kissed, and Allie pauses and says, just a little bit, not a lot.
I mean, I'm sorry, you spend the night with Hashim and you're not going to kiss?
Just a little bit? You're going to stop? Like, come on. Jimmy said that he was open and wanted to test things, and they did the damn thing. Copyright Becca Kufrin. But he wanted to end his nights with her. Like, he kind of was like, we're going to spend the days and evenings making out with other people. And then...
Also, Jimmy, you can't... Like, that's a crazy thing to say. And also, you can't expect her to, like, intuit that.
Yeah. Well, again, this is, I think, a case of someone writing their story of how things are going to go in their head, where he's like, we're going to be the couple that really tests things, but then our bond underneath will stay strong.
And Allie's like, well, I keep asking you to close things off, and you just keep, like, looking around panicked and then, like, changing the subject, so.
Right. Allie's like, well, then you should have closed it off if you wanted to end the nights together. It's almost like he's like, I want you to be my primary partner in a sort of open relationship where, like, don't ask, don't tell, like, we can go on dates, we can hook up, but, like, we never stay out overnight, and that's, like, the ground rule. Like, that's what he envisioned this relationship to be. Allie is not interested in that. And she's like, it's almost like, what's the point of exploring all day if I have to go back to the same person? What am I exploring? You know? So Jimmy's like, I want to re-explore with you. And I feel like I grew a lot here. A lot of that is because of you. You mean so much to me. We've developed this really deep bond. And she says, I don't know. Sorry. And that's the end of the conversation. So now they're doing the opposite of the Bree and Damari thing, where they're making it look like she is just completely not into it, blasé, turned off. He lays his heart out there and she's like, I don't know. And then, of course, she ends up taking him back.
Well, obviously.
So whatever they very clearly want you to think is happening on a date, the opposite is happening.
This show is starting to piss me off.
Thankfully, it's almost over. So their activity is a clay scrub that they rub onto each other. And while they're doing this, they do talk a little bit more. Jimmy tells her that he wanted their date to be, quote, happy go easy.
Close.
So close.
But not.
No. And I'm really going to need, we're coining new malapropist expressions
constantly.
At such a speed. Like, we need to slow down, like, open the schools. Let's all just, like, learn what the phrases are. You know, let's get a foundation.
Do you think he meant happy go lucky? Or did he mean easy come, easy go?
I think he meant maybe like easy going and happy go lucky together. And he just whoopsied it. But I can't deal with this anymore. I really need people to bone up on their common phrases.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Yaman is just wandering around being like, what is a fever dream?
I can't. Well, I can't. We'll get to that. He is like, instead of it being happy go easy, we had some tough conversations, but I thank you for like going through that with me. And then somewhat jokingly, he says they should just lock it down. And Allie's like, that's what I wanted. How do I know you weren't being strategic by playing it this way? Like, if you knew you wanted me, you should have just said so. And like,
here's the thing. It doesn't matter if he's being strategic at this point.
Right. Well, she also has to be a little strategic here. Like, you can't trust Hashim or Jimmy. This is a show. It's a game.
You can't trust anyone.
So maybe you should just leave, or you can agree to play the game with the person who you think gives you a better chance at winning that free vacation. All right. And Jimmy says that he thought the whole process, he should just communicate with her. And as long as he was communicating with her, he couldn't do wrong.
But when you communicate, I don't want to close off this relationship.
Right.
Then that's going to communicate to her that she should be out here making out with Hashim.
Right.
Like,
right. You communicated things to her, and that's great, but you kind of have to accept the reality of what was communicated. No one's saying it's wrong to communicate, but, you know, Communication isn't just words. There's this like magical quality that people think communication is imbued with, where it's like, if I communicate, then everything will be perfect. It's
right,
like,
then no, I'll get everything I want. That's my little reward.
Yeah, the content of that communication matters.
I'm like, you know what? In my life, I have communicated many things and still not gone in my way.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually control other people.
Yeah, 100. And sometimes you communicate really openly and they're like repulsed. They're like, oh my God.
They're like, I actually like you less now. Yeah. Now that I've heard what's really going on in that brain.
Very
no,
common
thank you.
Experience for me, 100%.
Hard pass.
Hard pass. Allie repeats that he should have just locked it in. This, it's a little circular, like, because she's just mad about something that already happened. And he's like, well, I'm ready to lock it in now. And she's like, that's what I wanted before. What are you going to do about the fact that you didn't do it in the past? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, yeah, I'm really upset with myself that I didn't do that. I've been like really feeling bad about it. Maybe we could explore this more in the real world. And she makes a comment about how maybe he'll want to be open in the real world too, because a lot of things change in the real world. And Jimmy looks crestfallen. Vibes are not good.
And that's how you know they're going to stay together.
Allie tells us that she misses Jimmy, but this is eye-opening. This experience started on a new moon, which is like the beginning of a story, and it ends on a full moon, which signifies the ending of a story. And maybe what she needs to learn is that sometimes you have to let things go to find clarity.
I'm learning so much about the skies and astrology and Allie's belief system through this show. That's my main takeaway from Perfect Match.
I'm getting the sense that every month you have to have at least one entire relationship start to finish. Because if that full moon comes and you're not closing the door, then you're ignoring.
Can you close the door on something else, or does it have to be a relationship every time?
At least once a month, I'm trying to close the door on something, you know, because I listen to the lunar story, the lunar powers. At the same time that she's giving this pretty clear story about how this is an ending and you have to let things go, we see them showering off the mud and making out. So
no closing doors on this full moon.
Maybe she's closing the door on Hashim.
Wow.
This is actually perfect. She's definitely closing the door on at least one person on this full moon.
So she's listening to the skies regardless.
No matter what she does. That night, the crew is waiting for the daters to return. Jimmy S. and Allison are talking about how deep their relationship has gotten and how they want to explore life together. He wants to get matching tattoos. He wants to go to Broadway. He wants to introduce her to his mom.
You know, I love how many of the Perfect Matchers are patrons of the arts.
If you don't love Broadway, you're not here anymore. They're like, you've never heard of Jersey Boys? Get the fuck out of this house. No one will match with you.
I'm so proud. And right around the corner from Tony's weekend.
Yeah, represent.
Appropriate.
He says, the world can be our oyster, and I just want to fucking maximize it, exhaust every option, and slowly but surely reel it all in.
God, Jimmy is just, Jimmy S., what a quotable man.
The world
is spewing nonsense.
Is an 100%
oyster of the time.
But he's maximizing the oyster, he's exhausting the oyster, and he's also
and then he's reeling that oyster in. You know how you're constantly like reeling oysters in after you exhaust them?
It's like the biggest, most exhausted oyster that you're reeling in at the end. That's what I want my life to be like. When the daters return, Nick Lachey is there to cross-examine them in front of the group. And Damari says that he and Bree had a great date. Jimmy says he and Allie also had a great time. They've developed a deep bond. And then Nick says that Damari and Allie have to pick their partner for the finale immediately. And the other person has to leave the house immediately. And everyone's shocked. And I was like, yeah, the finale's in like 10 minutes. Like, I don't like.
Yeah, we got to get going. Okay.
Like, you think they're going to hang out for a slumber party? But I'm sure, I guess they probably thought they were going to get a chance to talk to their current matches. But no time to waste, because again, the finale is about to happen.
Maybe that's better for Allie. She gets too distracted when she like has too many options in front of her.
Yeah, she's got a classic case of like, I'm choosing the last person I spoke to. And unfortunately, I spoke to them both within the last 5 minutes. But she hasn't spoken to Hashim in hours. And this is the push she needs. Damari goes first and says that he and Bree really needed the talk that they had. They understand each other better now. It made them closer as people. And Bree beams. but then he chooses Marissa to match. And we're shown Bree looking bummed. I will say, it would be incredibly easy to take reaction shots of Bree from basically any point during this conversation and make it look like she's having a big emotional reaction to nothing.
I feel like Bree is fine.
She seems fine. She tells the camera that she got much needed closure. Now she's looking for her real perfect match because she and Damari are definitely done. She's like, time is running out. I'm not going to stay this hot forever. Bree, unhot people can find love too. Like, I know your day is going to come either way.
Please.
She's also going to be hot for a long time.
I think she actually might be hot forever.
She might be one of those lucky few who's literally hot forever. Allie says that Jimmy and Hashim are both amazing men, and she chooses someone who makes her laugh, someone she can be herself around and can see herself growing with in real life. And that person is Jimmy.
She's just spent more time with Jimmy. Of course she's going to choose Jimmy.
Yeah. Listen, if it were me, I do think that I would ultimately assign more weight to the person who did explore and did keep rematching with me than the person who clearly saw me as the ticket to get into the house.
Well, that's the thing. And we've spent like 2 days together.
Right. Like, he hasn't really had a chance to...
She's like had an actual relationship.
Right. But I think if you're assessing people's sincerity, you don't have much to go on. Everyone could be using you. But I would definitely assign weight to the new person might have just seen me as low hanging fruit. But Jimmy did have a chance to talk to a lot of other people and stay in the house. And we kept ending up together.
Yeah.
So maybe he is more sincere. And also, Allie loves the we were tested and we made our way back to each other storyline. And now she can say yet again, we were tested and we still made our way back to each other. She's like, the wedding is back on. Hashim is surprised and disappointed. And he tells us they, quote, did get intimate pretty quick, but that's life. He's ready to meet a grown woman who knows what she wants and who's ready to settle down with him. What did you think about this?
I was like, huh.
I was kind of thrown that he would say that. Like,
same. And I am even more thrown later in the episode.
Right. Like, he's like, just to be clear, she's a slut, but whatever. Like, okay.
Yeah. I was a little bit like, I don't know, man. Did you say that you only get physical with people you're serious with? Like, either way, you both made a consensual choice to hook up with someone that you met recently.
Yeah.
And so, like, this doesn't seem very, like, extraordinary behavior to me.
Right. On a show where a bunch of hot single people wear bikinis and then, like, share private bedrooms with each other. Like, I find it unseemly. Let's put it that way. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, the finale, the actual finale. Can you keep up? I like,
love it. Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And we are back and we are ready to head into the final stretch. The couples going into the finale are Jimmy S. and Allison, Jimmy P. and Allie, Marissa and Damari, Natalie and Yaman, Sophie and Dave, and Weston and Kayla.
I wrote all of the couples down and then I was like, we're one short. And I realized that I had not included Natalie and Yaman because obviously they're not a couple.
They're fake. Liar, liars, pants on fire. I mean, yeah, what's funny about this group is that it is kind of a solid group other than Natalie and Yaman and Weston and Kayla, who are just like, please.
Yeah, guys. They're just there to be there, right? Marissa and Damari are not a strong couple in the sense that they're the couple in your friend group that you're like, oh, they broke up again last night, you know? Oh, God, they're back together right. already. But it feels real.
They're real, yeah. Yeah. They've been together for a while, I mean, yeah. In the world of the show, like since the beginning. Jimmy S. and Allison seem strong, actually. Sophie and Dave are on the rise. And yeah. Jimmy and Allie, you know, have had quite the journey.
I would say by the finale, Jimmy S. and Allison seem to me like the couple that is most likely to still be together by virtue of, like, they seem really
same
trusting of each other, established, compatible, and their lives seem relatively compatible. Jimmy P. and Allie feel like maybe they would still be friends, but I don't know if I'm going to see it romantically. Sophie and Dave seem like maybe the most, like, big love story, but the obstacles seem major. Tough. So yeah, I'm curious to see.
Physical distance.
Yeah. As of this taping, all I know about what happens with the couples is what we see at the end of the finale. So I'm curious to know more as more posting happens from these people. But yeah, like, we have a few solid couples. Who would you vote for at this point?
I think either Jimmy S. and Allison or Sophie and Dave.
Yeah. Honestly, I think those are kind of the obvious picks.
They just seem to enjoy each other the most.
Right. Like, you could vote for Marissa and Damari, but no matter how much they spin it, I don't think anyone really wants to vote for the couple that's been fighting the entire time.
No, it's too depressing.
It's like, but we fight because we care and it's real. Okay. But, like,
it's not fun for the rest of us.
Yeah. So it's time for the big tell-all and vote to see who will get the all-expenses-paid vacation. Nick Lachey greets the singles first and then brings in the couples, and they make their cases for why they should win.
We start with Kayla and Weston because... no one cares about them.
Including Weston, Kayla.
Yeah, including Kayla. Weston is trying to be like, everything happens for a reason. We're all aligned and was just meant to be. And then Nick Lachey moves on to Kayla. And Kayla's like, I wish I was here with Chris.
Right.
I loved this. I actually thought this really made me respect Kayla.
Yeah.
As she says, my boobs are fake, but I'm not.
Yeah. Clearly she wanted to get back in the house. But she ran out of time to bring Chris back in. So what's she going to do? Like, pretend she's really into Weston? And Chris agrees. He's like, I want to take you on a date outside of this experience. So Nick Lachey invites her to go sit with Chris. And Weston is like, cool. Yeah, it's so funny. Weston comes into this. He's like, everything aligned. And like, I managed to like get in the house by really following my heart and pursuing someone I really felt something for. And then she's like, yeah, I don't like you. And he's like, cool, same, whatever. Congrats to you. Like, I feel nothing.
We're like, we know, Weston.
Mackenzie then pipes up and says she thinks it's crazy for Kayla to say that she and Chris made a connection so quickly because they were secretly messaging the whole time on Spotify.
I loved this. I was like, yes, Mackenzie, get in there, get messy. Also, who cares? But also, thank you. Like, I was like, this back and forth was highly entertaining. And also, it matters zero. Like, why would I give a fuck that, well, Kayla and Chris were messaging on Spotify?
Well, it doesn't matter because they're literally not in the running for the vote at all.
Right.
So it's not relevant. But I think that the reason that it's relevant to the whole cast is that they lost their Spotify privileges.
No, that is why I found it so funny.
Right? Like, they're Allie's all like, oh my God,
that's why we lost our Spotify. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah. And it's like, well, that didn't affect me as a viewer. And you weren't going to win the vote because you're not eligible.
I am so happy they left it in because I found this entire exchange highly entertaining, especially when Mackenzie's like, and Allison was involved. And Allison's like, what? Me? And then they flash back to footage of Chris whispering while mic'd. Like, if you whisper, but you're both mic'd.
Does it make a sound? Yes, it does. It does make a sound into the mic.
Chris is like, yeah, we've been messaging. I mean, not on the phone. They keep those separate. And she's like, oh, Spotify? Yeah, I taught her that.
And this is the thing. Hasn't this been a plot line before? And they haven't sewn up this loophole?
Oh, I thought it was actually they were messaging on like the Netflix welcome screen or something.
It was definitely some sort of streaming service that it was being used before to chat. And so I just kind of was surprised that they didn't have this all the
loopholes.
That's
frankly generous to give them Spotify.
They should sit in
silence.
They're
going bachelor style after this. Like, literally nothing. Yeah. Nothing to entertain yourself.
You can have the Gideon's Bible from the hotel nightstand to entertain yourself. Yeah. I think that the reason they had to leave this in, though, is because there's nothing else. Like,
there's nothing interesting.
They left this in, and the whole finale portion is still, like, 20 minutes. Like, what if they cut it?
They were like, this is what we have. Spotify and some slut-shaming of Allie.
We have this little wisp of drama. Like, we can't afford to cut it, even though the stakes won't make any sense to anyone who isn't literally present for filming right now. Mackenzie also questions whether Kayla has a boyfriend. Kayla denies it, and then she asks Allison to back her up, and Allison backs her up in the least convincing way I've ever seen. She's like, oh, yeah, she doesn't have a boyfriend at all, for sure. I'm getting the sense that Kayla has a boyfriend, to be honest, just from your denial, Allison.
Like, I didn't believe it before, but...
So then we move on to Allison, and Jimmy asks, maybe the whole point of bringing up the Mackenzie stuff was to slightly tarnish them because Allison is guilty of teaching Kayla how to message on Spotify. I don't know. But they make their case. Allison says Jimmy makes her feel seen. They've made future plans. Oh,
like
we know.
Broadway.
The world is going to be their oyster. They're going to maximize the shit out of that oyster. Jimmy says that Allison is a special girl. He can just be himself unapologetically, which is like the only way we've seen him be. Like, he never tones it down.
He's like, Allison is my dog.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm so ready for him to be up. I'm like happy for you guys, but I'm so ready for Jimmy S to be gone from my screen.
Say less, Jimmy S, please, at least in my presence.
Catherine brings up that Jimmy made her feel like he was open, but then she heard that he and Allison had made a pinky promise before he went on the date. And if she had known about that, she wouldn't have taken him on the date, which that's fair, I think. Jimmy says he wishes he would have handled that better. He admits to the pinky promise and he apologizes to Catherine for doing that.
He's also like, I mean, I did that, but basically he's like, if I had been really into Catherine, I would have broken the pinky promise. That was sort of the underlying implication.
Yeah, it's like you didn't win me over enough that it was worth breaking a pinky promise.
He's like, Allison's my person.
He also says that he wears his heart on his sleeve and he just doesn't think sometimes. And I don't really know how that's an excuse for any of this.
It's not.
Dave backs Jimmy up and is like, I'm glad he locked it in with Allison. I do think this is one of like the issues with this format, though, is like if everyone is really playing to win, then they probably want to lock it down. Right. But if everyone is locked down, who are the bombshells going to take on Dave?
Then there's no show.
And I think sometimes there is a bit of massaging of just like, you're kind of open, right? Like you should just go on the date and see what happens. But then you know that your best interest is to definitely maintain the strength of your existing relationship.
Right. Unless you're like so into the person.
Right.
Who you've gone on the new date with, or you really hate your current partner.
And sometimes even then, Damari.
You'll stay. We move on to Allie and Jimmy P.
Yes.
The other Jimmy.
The other Jimmy and the other Allison.
Yeah. She's Allie. It's so different.
But regardless, the point is they are the second version of this couple. And Allie starts. She says she loves spending time with Jimmy P and waking up next to him. But they also stayed very open and everyone laughs. And she says she realized that she really missed Jimmy when she was matched with Hashim, who was amazing and great and she loves. But she missed Jimmy. Allie says she's glad they tested the waters because now their feelings are solidified. And Jimmy says he got a lot out of the process by staying open. And he thinks Allie is amazing and what they've built is real.
Cassie does a thing similar to Catherine where she's like, my gripe is that Jimmy was fake open.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of what he said to Allie before.
Yeah.
He's like, we'll be open and then we'll definitely be together at the end of the day.
Like, and you should have just known that.
Right. And that's the thing is that is a solution that sucks for just about everyone, but especially the bombshells who have their time wasted.
Yeah.
Cassie says she was shocked when Jimmy didn't match with her. He gave her all his energy. She feels he already knew his answer before the date. And he disputes that. But again, he did admit this basically to Allie. Jimmy then refers to Allie as shorty.
Everyone cringes. It is like the cringe is palpable. The whole cast seems absolutely repelled.
Like it's bad when Jimmy S does it, but people accept it. When Jimmy P tries it,
no.
Everything comes to a screeching halt. Everyone's like, that sounded so wrong. It's not okay for you to say
funny.
That. I have to imagine that on some level he was like, well, that really did not sound the way I thought it was going to sound, but I have no choice but to continue moving forward. I would probably get up from the set and be like, I can't do this anymore.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done, guys.
I'm too embarrassed to continue. Damari says that he respects Allie and Jimmy staying open because he would have been crashing out. And it's like, well, yeah, and they were, especially Allie. Marissa does not seem convinced of Jimmy's intentions. And that was clear already from what we saw on the show.
Yeah. She's basically like, I'm protective of Allie. Jimmy didn't seem to really like Allie, but Hashim was sure about her.
And Jimmy says Hashim didn't have a lot of options, which is true.
Yeah, he's not wrong. Like, it's not that I think Hashim didn't like Allie, but like Jimmy's also correct that there were limited choices.
Yeah. And like, that's how it works to be a bombshell.
Yeah. That's right? Just the game.
That's like, the game. But like, it must be kind of galling to see people being like, well, Hashim like chose her. And it's like, well, what option did he have?
Right.
Like that was his positioning in the game. That's all he could do. Hashim then jumps in to be like, because of bro code, I have to tell you that Allie and I were physically intimate.
I hated this so much. This like sucked. This really sucked. And it's in
this
front of
this felt really slut-shamey.
The whole cast and it felt super slut-shamey. And you can tell that Jimmy's kind of taken aback, but doesn't know exactly how to respond. He's like, oh, well, Allie told me that you guys kissed. And then Allie whispers under her breath, like, we did a little more. And Jimmy's like, what? Like, they're trying to communicate, like, privately in this public setting about it.
I feel like she should have told him the night before, to be honest. But she I can understand have. Why she would be like, I think Hashim is a good guy. Why would he bring up the details of our hookup?
This just, like, sucks. I'm cameras? Like, no one needed to know this. We didn't need to know this. Like,
yeah.
Basically, she says she, like, went down on him for literally 10 seconds. And then they flash back to like footage of them under the covers. I'm like, guys, we don't need this. Like, who cares?
I don't care. Let me just say, I can't believe a Princeton man would comport himself this way toward a lady on television.
It just felt a little bit like, well, now that she hasn't chosen me, you should know.
Yeah.
Like, she had my dick in her mouth. Like, I really felt like that was sort of the undertone, but in a way that was like, I'm just doing this to be thoughtful.
Yeah. I felt even more than usual like the singles were just being kind of vindictive. And I know that is their role. But to me, there's like a difference between like trying to sort of open the eyes of the people who are on stage to what was hidden from them. And then these moments that feel kind of like petty and slut-shamey and gross. Yeah,
I agree.
It just felt like none of it rose to the level. Like, Jimmy knew that she was exploring with Hashim and that they spent the night in bed together and that they kissed.
Hashim knew that Allie was incredibly torn between him and Jimmy. Like, she was literally sobbing in his arms over the choice. Like,
so it's not like one of those scenarios where they're like, we've been solid the whole time. And then one of the bombshells gets up there and is like, he like licked up and down my whole body during the party. And like, he didn't tell you, you know, like it felt like unnecessary and vindictive. I don't know.
I felt for Allie. Ultimately, they're able to move past it. They're kind of like, we're fine. And Jimmy says, you know, our story was a wild ride. I'm giving Allie grace. And everyone just kind of moves on from it. But yikes. And now I just like even Googled and there's like headlines like Allie admits to like secret sexual act with Hashim. It just sucks.
I can understand potentially being the man in that scenario feeling like I also don't want to be like drawn into a sexual encounter by someone who is going to like dump me the next day. And like that feels bad.
I just wish that then he had directed the comment to Allie being like, hey, I feel a little hurt.
Right.
That
exactly.
We like got intimate and I'm feeling hurt. I feel like maybe you just kind of knew you were going to go back to Jimmy. Instead, he's like, bro to bro, you should know.
bro to bro, your girl's a hoe.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I didn't like that. Let's talk about Sophie and Dave. Nick Lachey brings up that Dave was a kissing bandit And is this like an original Bachelor trope? Like, did that emerge on The Bachelor?
I think it was like a thing before.
Did that pre-exist?
Yeah.
I always just associate it so strongly with The Bachelor.
With Ari Leyendyke?
Yeah. I don't even think he was the first kissing bandit, but he's the one that I remember. He asked for a show of hands from the women who kissed him, and it's like all of them.
I love this. Everyone was laughing.
Yeaman, Weston, and Jimmy S. also raised their hands.
You know, how can you resist Dave's charms? Look at that man. It's the power of a 37-year-old.
I think we need a more gender-fluid, queer season of Perfect Match.
We used to have them.
Right? Like, imagine how messy it could be if everyone literally was making out or could make out. Like, come on. We need this.
I know. They, like, did away with it because they realized they just were, like, opening up their queer contestants to being, like,
yeah,
followed by, like, misogynist dudes.
Is that why they stopped? It's bad.
No.
But is that why? I'm putting that aside. No queer content is getting greenlit right now because of Trump.
Because we live in hell.
Dave says he has had a great time with Mackenzie, and she's a special woman, but he was looking for someone whose personality was oozing out of them. Mackenzie's personality, I guess, was a little too contained and tidy.
She doesn't seem to take offense to this, though. Perhaps, yeah, I would.
Well, you know, I think that she correctly and in good humor takes this just as him describing that they're looking for different things. That,
yes, which she agreed.
Yeah.
They actually have the sweetest relationship. Sophie also talks about how much she likes Dave. She says she thought she'd kind of be coming in the house and going right out. But now she's at the finale with a guy she actually cares about, who makes her laugh and makes her feel safe. What a combo.
Yeah. Damari says that he can tell that Sophie brings out a soft and boyish side of Dave, and he enjoys their connection.
Thanks, Damari.
Thanks, Damari.
We then get a very sweet exchange between Mackenzie and Dave, where Mackenzie literally, like, starts to choke up talking about how much she loves Sophie and Dave's relationship. And Dave gets up and runs over to Mackenzie to hug her. And then they both start crying.
No, it's so sweet. She's like, Sophie is wonderful. She's so brilliant and funny. And, like, Dave's so great. I'm so happy for them. They're, like, the perfect couple.
And they clearly, like, both love her, too. It's, I don't know, it really warmed my heart.
Yeah, I mean, clearly Dave and Mackenzie liked each other. And then they dated for, like, a day. And they were like, we are not what each other is looking for at all.
But we, like, have a lot of affection for each other.
It's sweet. Dave says that he cares about Sophie a lot, and giving her a safe space and her doing that for him, that's what a perfect match is. And he's like, we're gonna, like, do our best to make it work, even though we'll be super long distance. And I believe them. Am I being tricked? Marissa and Damari are next. Marissa says she connected with Damari right away, but they were tested with their communication and dealing with exes. She feels
very
failed.
Strongly.
And they failed. We were tested. Well, but if you choose to get back together, then you succeeded.
Right. No matter what. I'm like, is that the lesson here?
Breaking up is a failure and staying together is a success, regardless of what that looks like. Damari says that they were tested, especially by Weston and Kayla. They had every trial and were able to communicate through them. And he couldn't say better things about Marissa. Kayla is not so pleased. She says Damari made it clear he was open to exploring with her, but then after they got back from their date, he didn't speak to her at all. And he apologizes to Kayla. I mean, they've already discussed this on camera. Yeah. And ultimately, he says he wouldn't want to do this with anyone but Marissa. Marissa and Damari are the most, like, I would not be incredibly shocked if they were still together, but I think that of the couples that are purportedly real, they're the couple that I expect to have broken up the fastest.
I would be shocked if they were still together. And also just I've seen a few clips of Damari giving interviews, and the way he's talking about Marissa does not feel like.
Okay, then I would be shocked. I feel like sometimes these couples who have a rocky go on the show end up.
This is too rocky too quickly.
But, like, they're going to be broken up within a week.
Oh, I guarantee you they broke up, like, before they left wherever they were filming.
They didn't get the vacation. So Natalie and Yeaman go last. Who?
These are the scammers.
Natalie says their ride has been amazing and surprising. She wanted to find a best friend who she could do anything with. And Yeaman became that. He's so grounded and steady and makes her feel calm. Mm-hmm. And Ye says they're yin and yang. Nick is like, well, did you ever actually test your connection? Like, you never went on any dates?
Nick Lachey is a doubter.
I mean, if even Nick Lachey is like, this does not pass the sniff test.
I know.
They don't often question that within this space. But Ye is like, we were tested because we're in the same friend group.
Okay.
Hashim, who is in their friend group, says he feels like it's a genuine connection. Yaman says he's been shocked by their connection and says, I find myself skipping.
Okay.
The thing is, I do buy that Yaman might have been into Natalie.
I do not buy that Natalie's into Yaman, especially because of what we see shortly after this.
Well, that kind of cements things. But with Yaman, I got the sense of like, here's this hot guy with no riz who's like constantly in these settings where he's surrounded by beautiful women who are just choosing other guys, and he doesn't know why. He can't like bag anyone. And then his like gorgeous friend is like, yeah, I'm down. Like, I get the sense that he feels very like lucky and excited.
I agree.
And game to like see what's there. And I feel like Natalie is just like, Ye's not gonna dump me. Like, this is gonna be a smooth ride to the finale.
I completely agree. After this, it's time to vote. No one is allowed to vote for themselves. And in classic fashion, we like see people going into the boardroom, but we see very few of them actually casting their votes. So it's unclear who voted for who. The only ones that we actually see are Kayla, who votes for Allison and Jimmy. Catherine votes for Damari and Marissa. Marissa votes for Yaman and Natalie. And Sophie also votes for Allison and Jimmy.
It does seem like a bit of a popularity contest. Like, people are voting for their friends.
These things always are.
Yeah. And Nick Lachey ultimately announces that the winners are Dave and Sophie.
Sophie was right. You gotta just make the greatest number of people have affection for you.
100%. Sophie says that Dave looks like a red flag, but he's the greenest flag of them all, and he's hers. And I just want to briefly remind everyone that a red flag is not a person. A red flag is a quality. So,
I'm learning so much. Thank you.
This creates such a binary. It's like he's either a green flag or a red flag. No, he can have green flags and red flags. We contain multitudes.
We then get a little epilogue, and we do learn that Sophie and Dave actually went on their vacation. They went to the Maldives.
Good for them.
They seem to stay in one of those like overwater bungalows. It looks beautiful.
That's what I always thought a honeymoon would be like until I was planning my honeymoon. And I was like, wow, it's actually incredibly expensive.
Do I want to pay to go all the way to the Maldives and then...
and then stay in this very exclusive overwater bungalow? No, I'll be going to a more attainable location. It looks beautiful. They seem like they're having a good time. I like was not surprised to see that they actually made the trip.
Yeah. Also, I'm kind of like, if anyone deserves the vacation, it is them because they have the most physical barriers.
I actually wonder if that was part of the calculation behind some of the votes.
I was wondering that too.
Yeah. Like Allison and Jimmy S are going to be able to see each other.
Right.
Plot twist. After we see the Maldives vacation, we see a little update that Natalie and Chris are now together as of December 2025, which is like months ago and God knows what's going on now. But Chris tells the camera that they're doing great. Natalie says Chris got her a Chanel bag for Christmas. I'm sure he did.
His only move.
I'm surprised he waited until Christmas. He must have been.
I'm sure she got a Louis Vuitton wallet before. Please.
She's like hitting him up. She's like, I heard you had a Louis Vuitton wallet. Have you given that to anyone yet?
We then cut to Allison and Kayla, who are like, how the fuck did that happen? Everyone knew before we did. And Kayla says that Natalie and Chris got together while she was still entangled with Chris and Natalie was still involved with Yaman.
And this is actually the one piece of information that made me think that maybe Natalie and Yaman were not fully faking this whole relationship.
Yeah,
it
was like, wow, did Ye just get scammed?
Yeah, I was like, I truly did not think that they would ever be entangled in any way after the show ended, but maybe it was more real enough for her to cheat on him with Chris.
Big fucking yikes. Also, wow, Chris has one move, and it is giving women luxury gifts.
Yeah, it's like telling women that he is the most emotionally available, heart of gold guy who just really wants a serious relationship. And what, it's so weird, he happens to have a Louis Vuitton wallet right here that he wants to give them because he just knows that they're the one. And then the minute that he encounters another equally or greater hot woman, he completely forgets the woman that he just gave a Louis Vuitton wallet to.
Yeah, he has to give another Louis Vuitton wallet to someone else. That's called generosity, to spread the love around. You're just a humble, self-made multimillionaire.
Yeah.
You gotta give the ladies what they want, which is luxury goods.
He keeps getting more and more off-putting, like, every single thing I learn about
him. Yeah, I really did not hate him on Age of Attraction, and now I hate him.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing, like, more repulsive than that sort of like future casting thing where you're like, I'm not like the fuck boys. I'm a serious guy. I want a real relationship with commitment and like emotional intimacy. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the few men who actually wants that, but they just engage in the same shallow fuckboy behaviors. That's so much worse. Just own it. If you're gonna skip from hot woman to hot woman, like sprinkling designer handbags along the way, just like be upfront. Don't kiss their hands and be like, we're deeply in love.
Gross.
Ew. So that's Perfect Match, our shortest, most weirdly paced season ever. Next season, I'm excited for 6 just absolutely content-free episodes until it's just a special.
Is it time for this show to end?
That makes me sad because I think that the premise has so much. There's so much there.
And I actually love seeing people cast from all these different franchises coming together. That part is really fun. And I will say season 3 was a lot more successful. And there were like great moments of season 4. So
when it works, it really works. I more so think that they need to actually invest enough in the show for it to work. If you keep ordering fewer episodes, there's no time for anything to develop. There's no stakes do not emerge. The pacing feels off. Like you need to give people a chance to sink into the season.
I also think, unfortunately, they do need to bring back people sending specific people on specific dates in the boardroom.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the boardroom doesn't matter otherwise.
Right. And then you end up with people coming in and instead of really threatening an established relationship, they go for the lowest hanging fruit, who's someone they're not really interested in. So then you have a low chemistry date that doesn't really ripple the couples you're most interested in seeing tested. You're right. Like it's unfortunate for the singles because it's very hard to come in and be forced to go on a date with someone who's in a serious relationship. But
as we see, it didn't really change much in terms of the outcomes.
Yeah. No, they need to just commit to the premise, commit to the boardroom, commit to 12 episodes again.
And don't release 5 to 6 at once.
Smaller drops.
Please. I am excited, though, that we are going to be starting our Love Island USA coverage next week. It's going to be crazy. Our schedule is going to be, we're starting on a week where there are like kind of no breaks. So we're going to start with just like one episode, basically, and then have like a big drop after, but we're gonna get into a groove. I'm really excited. I hope that the casting is good for this season.
I'm scared. I'm like stocking up on migraine medicine and like caffeine. I'm like, it's an it's like a marathon. It's like sprinting a marathon.
You gotta keep up with it. You really have to try to watch it like on a very consistent basis or else you'll just get underwater. But I think it'll be fun. I can't believe I'm heading into the final stretch of my pregnancy.
I know.
With Love Island.
You're going to get to just enjoy the last few episodes.
No, I'm going to have so many thoughts and I'm going to be like mad that I have nowhere to put them.
I will see.
I'll just be bleeding and like watching Love Island.
Yes, you will be like beached on a couch with like a little baby on your shoulder, just like letting it wash over you. You'll be fine. You won't want to offer any thoughts. But if you do want to offer thoughts, send me a voice memo and I'll play it for everyone.
No, and I am so glad that our dear friend Lee, people who have been with us for a while will remember, is going to come back and fill in for me.
Yes, I'm really excited to get to be the one working with Lee and not missing any of the action this time. So it's going to be a fun role reversal, but very excited for that to kick off and an exciting summer lies ahead of us.
Sure does. So thank you, Perfect Match, for your service. And now onward to Love Island. And yeah, we'll be tracking if there's any super interesting gossip that comes out about this cast over the coming weeks. We will be back in your ears to talk about it. And on that note, that's it for this episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire. If you're watching this on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe to our channel.
Love to See It is a presentation of Odyssey. The show is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray. Our production assistant is Tatiana Kinney-Smith, who also edits our video. This episode's audio was edited by John Bahar. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Aaron Nestor.
If you like our show, remember to follow us, rate us 5 stars, leave a review, and of course, spread the word to all of your friends about Love to See It.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at clareandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on TikTok at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at clareandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Patreon at patreon.com/richtext. I'm also on Blue Sky at Emma Gray and on Instagram and Threads at EmilyDRose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. Special thanks to the team at Odyssey, Eric Donnelly, Peter Arriaga, Kate Rose, Mara Curran, Melissa Wester, and Hillary Schiff.
We'll be back soon.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.